welcome to the Victory Family Church podcast. Thanks for joining us today. For sermon notes and videos related to this message, please visit media@victory.com.
What's up, Victory? How are you guys doing today? Everyone have a good Thanksgiving? Yeah? Shout out your favorite Thanksgiving food. All right, it's a mix. 6 o'clock was the only consistent service. They all love stuffing, which is probably why they didn't wake up on Sunday mornings. But hey, everyone, my name's Doug, if we haven't met. A lot of you know me as Bubba. Either one's fine. I've been over that talk before. But honored to be here. Just a little bit about me in case we haven't met. I'm married to my high school sweetheart, Laura, and we have a beautiful six-month-old. There she is. That's baby Olivia, and that was on Friday. We went down and cut down a Christmas tree. She's awesome. People always ask me, did having a baby teach you how much God loves you? And I always say, kind of, but really it taught me how selfish I am. And for those of you who are kids, right, amen. So dying to myself, but being a dad is the best, and has taught me a lot about God's love. But love my family. As Pastor Moore mentioned, I work at Light of Life Rescue Mission. We're on the north side. We help the homeless. And you're a church that supports us, so we appreciate that. I oversee outreach and fundraising, and I help with fundraising. And last week, we had a huge outreach for Thanksgiving. We were able to provide 802 Thanksgiving dinner baskets to families in need on the north side. That's awesome. You can clap. And on Thanksgiving Day, we served over 1,000 meals to those in need, both in and outside of our organization. So thank you for being a part of that. And I always tell people, if you want to come down for a tour or want to get involved in any capacity, we'd love to have you. I'd love to meet you. I'll be on the mezzanine after service. I'd love to talk to you about that. And then I also, my wife and I are passionate about leadership development, and we started an organization called L3 Leadership. And really, all we're trying to do for next generation leaders is what this church did for me. And if you want to learn more about that, just go to l3leadership.org, or we can talk after. But enough about me. Let's pray and get into the Word of God. Father, thank you so much for this time together. Lord, I just thank you for the service. Lord, I thank you that you say in your word, where two or more are gathered, you're there. So we thank you for your presence. We thank you that you're here. And Lord, I just pray that you would speak to every individual something that they need today, Father, whether it's something that I say, whether it's something that you speak specifically to their spirit, Lord. I just pray that everyone goes home closer to you than when they came. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. Amen. All right, well, I get to talk to you about one of my favorite subjects this weekend. I called my message title simple, it's just called Be Grateful. Be grateful. And I want to talk to you about gratitude. And my hope is that by the end of this message, that you'll have more of a heart of gratitude than you've probably ever had before. And I believe that if we're truly grateful, then that should lead to action. It should lead to us to give back. And I want to talk to you about actually acting on your gratitude. So I want to start with a letter. This was before cell phones were out, but I love this letter, so I wanted to read it to you. This is a letter to a mom and dad from a college student before there were cell phones. And imagine getting this letter from your daughter. Dear mom and dad, it's been now 3 months since I left for college. I've been remiss in writing, and I'm very sorry for the thoughtlessness in not having written before. I will bring you up to date now, but before you read on, please sit down. You're not going to read any further unless you're sitting down, okay? Well then, I'm getting along pretty well now. The skull fracture and the concussion I got when I jumped out of the window of my dormitory when it caught fire shortly after my arrival are pretty well healed now. I only spent 2 weeks in the hospital, and now I can almost see normally and only get those sick headaches once a day. Fortunately, an attendant at the gas station near the dorm witnessed the fire in the dormitory and my jump. He was the one who called the fire department and the ambulance. He also visited me in the hospital. And since I had nowhere else to live because of the burnout dormitory, he was kind enough to invite me to share his apartment with him. It's really a basement room, but it's kind of cute. He's a very fine boy, and we've fallen deeply in love, and we're planning on getting married. We haven't set the exact date yet, but it will be before the pregnancy begins to show. Any parents uncomfortable? I am. Yes, mother and dad, I am pregnant. I know how much you are looking forward to being grandparents, and I know you will welcome the baby and give it the same love, devotion, and tender care that you gave me when I was a child. I also know that you'll welcome my future husband into the family with open arms. He's kind, and although not well educated, he is ambitious. And although he is of a different religion than ours, I know your oft-expressed tolerance will not permit you to be bothered by that. I'm sure that you will love him as I do. Now that I've brought you up to date, I want to tell you that there was no dormitory fire. I did not have a concussion or a skull fracture. I was not in the hospital. I am not pregnant. I'm not engaged. And there is no boy in my life. However, I am getting a D in history and an F in science. And I wanted you to see those marks in their proper perspective. Isn't that good? I wish I had that much wisdom. Yeah. I want to give you some perspective today, some perspective on being grateful. And two thoughts that I want to share about gratitude. The first thought is this, is there's a great danger when we take the blessings of God for granted. There's a great danger when we take the blessings of God for granted. In Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 11 through 18, it says this, "But this is the time that you should be careful. Beware that in your plenty you do not forget the Lord your God and disobey his commands, regulation, and decrees that I am giving you today. For when you've become full and prosperous, and you've built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large, and your silver and gold have multiplied, along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God, who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with his poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and to test you for your own good. He did all this so you would never say to yourself, 'I have achieved this wealth in my own strength and energy.' Remember the Lord your God, because he is the one who gives you the power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant he confirmed to your ancestors with an oath." How many of you guys would say that you're in a better place now than you were before you were walking with Christ? Right? Every hand in the room goes up. How many of you would say you're in a better place now than you were when you started walking with Christ? Your life's better off. My question is, are you grateful for that? And do you actually tell God how grateful you are? Because if we're not careful, it's so easy to slip into this mentality and attitude of I'm something special and my life is great because of what I've done. And we forget that without God, the Bible says without God, we are nothing and we can do nothing. But it says through him, we can do all things. And there's a parable that Jesus tells when he healed 10 lepers. And 9 out of the 10 don't come back and thank him. And he specifically said, hey, only one person came back to thank me. Where are the other 9? Are they not grateful for what I've done? And I want to challenge you today. I believe there's great danger when we start taking for granted the blessings that God's given us. And I'm hopeful that today will be a reminder of how much he's done for you. The second thought I want you to have about gratitude is that we can and we should be grateful in all circumstances. We can and we should be grateful in all circumstances. 1 Thessalonians 5:18 says this, "Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." I love that. Give thanks in all circumstances. Notice it didn't say, give thanks for all circumstances. Some of the circumstances in your life may be because of what other people have done to you. Some of the consequences in your life or circumstances are simply a result of your bad choices. Right? We don't always get to choose our circumstances, but I promise you that no matter what circumstances we're going through, we can learn to be grateful, and we can learn to look to God and thank him for all he's done. In fact, this was actually 2 years ago now, I was at home, and I was sitting around having a pity party. Does anyone ever have pity parties? I was depressed, and usually when I get depressed, it's because I never think I'm where I want to be. You know, I'm doing this with my life, but I want to be doing this, and I just get paralyzed by the frustration. I start to get depressed, and I'm like, I'm worthless. I'm never going to do anything great. And then I just freeze. And then I get grumpy, and Laura's like, what's wrong? I'm like, nothing. And she's like, clearly there's something wrong. And thank God I have a godly wife who looks me in the eyes, and she said, have you spent time with God? Which 99% of the time, if not 100, that's probably the answer to your problem. Have you spent time with God? We spent all summer, the summer spiritual growth, teaching you how to spend time with God. Are you doing that daily? It wasn't just a summer thing, right? We need to carry that every day of our lives. So I decided to spend time with God, locked myself in a room, turned on some worship music, just started worshiping, praying, and I felt like God led me to the book of Philippians. I read the book of Philippians, so much jumped out, but one verse specifically, and that's what I love about the Bible. You can read it 10,000 times and maybe not get nothing out of one verse, but then all of a sudden, God makes it leap off the page, and it's exactly what you needed for that time. And this is what I needed at that time. Philippians 4, verse 6 says this. It says, "Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done." Thank him for all he's done. That leapt off the page for me. And God dealt with my heart. He said, Doug, when was the last time you thanked me for all I've done? And I started thinking about it. I'm like, I don't know if I've ever thanked you for all you've done. I've never really given it much thought. And I felt prompted to take my journal. Again, part of growing your relationship with God. I can't encourage you enough to journal. But I just felt like God prompted me to start writing down everything I was thankful for. And I just started writing, and I wrote, God, thank you so much that you loved my mom so much that you sent someone to witness to my mom, to lead her to Christ before she died, and you let me know that 3 months after she died. Thank you for that, Father. God, I thank you that you had a girl invite me to a Bible study when I was a senior after my mom died. And I thank you that at that Bible study, I met my future wife and mother-in-law, and that they loved me and brought me into their family. I thank you for bringing me into their family. I thank you that that family brought me to this church. I thank you that I got to meet Pastor Moore and Pastor Larry and Pastor John at this church. And I just started thanking God. I got about half a page down, and I was only 6 months into my walk with God. And I just started crying. And all of a sudden, all the depression, all the bondage, all of that just left me. And I thought, what am I sitting around having a pity party for? Why? God's done so much for me. I got so much to be grateful for. Man, let's just get up and do what God called us to do. And some of you are here, and you sit around, and you've been in that bondage. You've been in depression. You've been just felt like you can't do anything for God. And I'm here to tell you that you need to be grateful for all he's done. And if you start cultivating an attitude of gratitude and being grateful for what God's done in your life, I promise you those changes will fall away. And you'll find yourself right back on track with God again. But when's the last time you thank God for all he's done in your life? I encourage you, the Steelers aren't playing today. That means you have 4 hours to spend time with God, right? Now you don't have to spend the whole 4 hours. But spend time with God today. Spend time with God this week and be intentional about thanking him for all he's done. I'm going to help you and actually get you started today. I want to spend the rest of the service just sharing with you things I'm thankful for. And now, they're not going to be specific because you're not all going to be thankful for things I'm specific with me. But these are things we can all be thankful for in Christ. The first thing I'm thankful for is I'm thankful for today. I'm thankful for today. Psalm 118:24. Says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day. Guys, this is the only day we get. My life was changed by watching Duck Dynasty one time. Has anyone ever watched Duck Dynasty? I love Duck Dynasty. Uncle Si is my favorite by far because I can relate, but whatever that means. But I really love Uncle Phil, and I love that they pray together at the end of every episode, and my favorite prayer is Uncle Phil. And he's my favorite prayer because he always starts off the prayer the same. Father God, thank you for another day here on planet Earth. I pray that every day now. Thank you, Uncle Phil, if you're watching this. Yeah, right? But man, wouldn't that be awesome. Hey, I want to be on the show. Anyway, but thank you, God, for another day here on planet Earth. Are you grateful that we get another day? You don't have to live another day. You get to. You got to wake up this morning. I got to have a cup of coffee. I got to spend time with my baby this morning. Are you grateful for today? John Maxwell once said this. He said, too often, we over-exaggerate yesterday, we overestimate tomorrow, and we underestimate today. Isn't that true? Yesterday was the glory days. It's never going to be as good as it was in high school or college. Those were the glory days. And we turn on Bruce Springsteen and start listening to that. Or else we get really optimistic about the future and say, when I get married, when I get this job, when I get this house, when I do that, that's when it's going to be awesome. And we over-exaggerate what tomorrow is going to be like. But we underestimate today. When today is all we got. This is the only time that you're ever going to get to live. Like, this is all you get is today. Are you grateful? I'm thankful for where God's brought me from. Is anyone else grateful from where God brought you from? Man, how many of you guys, God has brought you a long way? Amen? Yeah. I'm going to read you a story of an immigrant shopkeeper. I love this. It said, once there was an immigrant shopkeeper whose son came to him one day complaining and said, Dad, I don't understand how you run this store. You keep your accounts payable in a cigar box, your accounts receivable is on the spindle, and all your cash is in the register. You're never going to know what your profits are. The immigrant shopkeeper father looked at him and said, Son, let me tell you something. When I arrived in this land, all I owned was the pants I was wearing. Now your sister's an art teacher, your brother is a doctor, and you're a CPA. Your mother and I own a house and a car and this little store. Add that all up, subtract the pants, and that is your profit. Be grateful. Are you grateful from where you came from? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone in this room or watching this who belongs to Christ has become a brand new person. The old life is gone, and a new life has begun. I'm so grateful that the person I was before Christ when I was 17-year-old, that life is gone because that was going nowhere fast. And I'm so grateful for where he's brought me from. But all too often, I was watching Stephen Furtick the other day. He talked about two gaps. And he said, too often we get disappointed because we live in the gap between where we are now and where we want to be or where we think we should be. I talked a little bit about that 5 minutes ago. And we get disappointed because we're never where we think we ought to be or should be. But too often we forget and we neglect to look at the gap between where we were and where God's brought us to. And when you look at this gap, you can become grateful real fast. God, I was a nobody. I had nothing. I was nothing. And look at everything you've done in my life. God, I thank you. Joyce Meyer says it all the time. Thank God I'm not where I should be, but thank God I'm not where I used to be. Thank God I'm not back where I was when I started with God. I'm so grateful for where he's brought me from. I thank God for my spouse and family. And this sounds really cliche, but I want to tell you it's not. Proverbs 31, 28 through 30 says this. It says, her children stand and bless her. Her husband praises her. There are many virtuous and capable women in the world, but you surpass them all. Charm is deceptive and beauty does not last, but a woman who fears the Lord will be greatly praised. Now, if you know my wife, I hit it out of the park. I married a Proverbs 31 woman. She is unbelievable. And people are always like, Bubba, how did you get Laura? God. And see, everyone always laughs, but it's not funny. Like, God hooked me up, and he'll hook you up if you're single. But I married a Proverbs 31 wife, but do you know how easy it is to take it for granted that I married a Proverbs 31 wife? Do you know that I can check that off my Christian box and say, okay, if I'm going to be the man God called me to be, then I have to have a godly wife, I have to have godly kids, check, check, okay, what's next? And take them for granted, start focusing on, I got to build L3, I got to do well at Light of Life, I'm going to focus on my career. And I start taking for granted the greatest blessing that God's ever given me, which is my spouse and family. John Maxwell said when he turned 40 years old, he started noticing a trend among all of his friends. All of his friends started getting divorced. And it was because of this very thing. They started focusing on things and defining success as what they were able to accomplish. And he said, I'm headed down the same road. If I don't redefine success in my life, then I can end up in the same place. So he decided at 40 years old to redefine success in life, and I've adopted this definition of success, and I hope you will too. He said this, he said, success means having those closest to me love and respect me the most. Success means having those closest to me love and respect me the most. You know what, guys, I can meet you in the back, and you can all give me a high five and say, awesome message, Doug, but if I go home and my wife doesn't love and respect me more than you do, I lost, period. If I can't lead at home, I have no business leading anywhere else. And I define success. If Laura and Livy and the rest of my family don't respect me more than all of you, then it's a losing game and I need to reprioritize. And maybe some of you need to take some time and write down what you're grateful for about your spouse and what you're grateful for about your kids. And here's a thought with that. Don't just write it down. Tell them. Amen. Never hold good thoughts in. If you have a good thought, an encouraging word for someone, tell them. Why would you hold that in? Tell your wife why you're thankful for it. Tell your kids why you're grateful for them. It'll change your life and marriage. I'm telling you. I'm grateful for my wife and spouse. Same thing. I'm grateful for my family. Seriously. I thank God that He has a plan and purpose for my life, and he gave me the gifts I needed to carry it out. Ephesians 2:10 says this. It said, we are God's masterpiece. He created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. Maybe you're new to walking with God, or maybe you're not, but here's what I know about you. God has a plan and a purpose for your life. For your life, a specific plan that he custom made just for you. And it's better than any story you could ever write on your own. God has a purpose for your life. I loved a few series back, it may have even been last year this time, they had a bunch of boxes outside, and everyone had to write on one side of the box one word that described what they were grateful for of what God had done in their life. And I remember Pastor John sharing his word. His word was purpose. And he said, I'd never thought I'd do anything with my life. And God took this kid and look what he's done. He gave him a purpose. And I could relate so well. I was 17 years old. I didn't have a plan. I had no gifts. I had no talents. I never thought I'd do anything in life. But God had a purpose and a plan for my life. And he does for you too. And you know, it's really exciting to learn about that when you start walking with God. It's one of the most exciting things ever. God has a plan for me. I'm all in. But what do you do if you've been walking with God for an hour and maybe you feel like you're on the sidelines or you've been put on the shelf? I just want to encourage you to let you know that we have a God that specializes in taking people off the shelf and on the sidelines and putting them back in the game again. Philippians 1 verse 6 says this. It says, I am certain that God, who began the good work within you, will continue his work until it is finally finished on the day when Christ Jesus returns. God, who began the good work within you, will, everyone say will. He will continue his work until it's finally finished. God's not just the author of his plan for your life, he is the finisher. And he will see to it that it's finished. And if you feel like you're on the sidelines, I'm telling you, God's not done with you yet. It might not happen tomorrow, it might not happen today, but I'm telling you, if you won't give up and be bitter at God because you feel like you're on the sidelines, if you'll just look to him and be faithful with whatever he puts in front of you, he'll take you off the shelf and put you back in at the right time. God is not done with you yet. Trust him. He is the finisher, finisher, finisher. I was meeting with a leader of the church, Chris Camp. He was in a video a few weeks ago, and I was saying some of these things. He said, Doug, do you think God brought you this far just to give up on you and just say, that's it? God didn't bring you as far as he has just to give up on you. He will finish what he started if you won't stop seeking him. Not only does he have a plan for your life, but he also will give you the gifts and talents that you need to fulfill it. In Romans chapter 12, verse 6 through 8, it says this. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God's given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, then serve them well. If you're a teacher, then teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If your gift is giving, then give generously. If God's given you leadership ability, take that responsibility seriously. And if God's given you a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. Here's what I know about the gifts of God. God gave each of you gifts. Some gifts you don't even know you have, and I want to encourage you, start serving somewhere. Start being faithful and just show up and do work, and I promise you, God will start to unveil things to you that you don't even know are in you. I never knew I could speak. I never knew I could write. But as I was faithful, God started showing me what he put in me. So if you don't know what your gifts are, just start getting busy, and God will reveal those things to you, and all of a sudden, opportunities will emerge for you to use your gifting. But if you're currently using your gifting, I want to urge you, do not take your gifting for granted. There's no ordinary gifts in the kingdom of God. None. Everyone likes to glorify being on stage and speaking and things. That's no different. You know what some of the greatest gifts in the world are? People that watch your children every week. People that pour the word of God into fourth graders and third graders and fifth graders. Youth pastors. Youth pastors are some of the most underappreciated people on the planet. But they pour into your teenagers every single week. God gave you each gift. Some of you love to be hospitable and you love having people over your house. You love throwing parties. You love being friendly. You love including people. Don't take those things for granted. It's so easy to undervalue the gifts that God gave us because we overvalue the gifts God gave others. Stop doing that. Be faithful with the gifts God gave you because he uniquely gifted you that way to make a specific difference with your purpose in life. Thank God he gave us a plan, a purpose, and the gifts we need. He's so good. I thank God for what I have. I want to talk to you about contentment for a minute. Paul said this in Philippians chapter 4, verse 11 through 13. He said, not that I ever was in need, for I have learned to be content with whatever I have. I know how to live on almost nothing or with everything. I've learned the secret of living in every situation, whether it's a full stomach, empty, with plenty or little. For I can do everything through Christ who gives me strength. Are you content with what you have? Or are you always wanting what everyone else has? Henry Cloud said that, well, I'll share this first. I have a pretty interesting job at Light of Life. I fundraise and also do outreach. So on the same day, I could be spending time with an executive of a company downtown, and then the same day be at our shelter and see people who are fully dependent on us for their food and shelter. It's a pretty interesting job. And so for me, that's taught me a lot about being grateful for what I have. I was on Thanksgiving, I was privileged to spend 8 hours at the mission, and while you were all having dinner with your families, there were a lot of people that came through our doors that their Thanksgiving dinner was coming to a rescue mission. And we make it as great as we can to give them a great experience, but how many of you guys know going to a rescue mission to eat your Thanksgiving dinner isn't the same as going to your family's house and enjoying a meal with family and friends? Henry Cloud said this, he said, every time you do something like eat, drink water, enjoy a day without illness, remember there are those who can't. Take a step and help them. When's the last time you put yourself in proximity with people who don't have it like you do? Jesus said that Jesus actually commands us in the Bible to treat people who can do nothing for us in return better than people who can do something in return. What do you do for people who can do nothing in return for you? And are you putting yourselves in situations where you're around them? I promise you, if you do, you'll be very grateful for what you have and you'll stop being covetous about what everyone else has. I'm grateful for what I have. I'm grateful that this life is not all there is. Isn't that the greatest thing about our walk with God? Is this life is not all there is. In fact, in Christ, this is as bad as life is ever going to get for us, like being on this planet. This is as bad as it's ever going to get, guys, because after this, it's awesome. It's all awesome. But for unbelievers, this is as good as it's ever going to get. It's never going to get any better than this. But the hope we have in Christ is that this is not all there is. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13 and 14, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to believers who have died, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope." Thank God we can have hope when believers die. "For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died." We can have hope that this life is not all there is. It's why Christ died on a cross for us. It's an amazing thing. And you know that with my mom died when I was 17. My mom's, because of what Christ has done, is not just in my past, but she's in my future. Do you know that? And anything significant that I wanted to do with my mom, I'm going to get to do one day. My mom didn't get to see me get married or see my first child be born or the rest of my family be born, but I'm going to get to see her again. And I thank God that that's the hope we have in Christ. And if you have loved ones that are lost in Christ, that's the hope you have too. They're not just in your past. They're not just a family. Like, they are in your future, and you will see them again. I love a Keith Moore who comes here and speaks. He's one of my favorite pastors. His father died very unexpectedly in a not-so-great circumstance. And he said that he was talking to God one day and just not complaining but questioning God and saying, "God, I think you took my dad too early." And he was grieving and all of these things. And God dealt with his heart. He said, "Keith, you're being ungrateful." And Keith was kind of like, "What do you mean I'm being ungrateful?" And God dealt with his heart. He said, "Didn't you get years and years and years of great memories with your dad? Didn't he raise you into the man that you were today? Wasn't he your hero? Didn't you get memories with him that some people never get with their dads? Didn't you actually have a dad that was involved with your life?" And you just started cultivating gratitude for what he did have. And it set him free, and I love that. And so many times when we lose a loved one, we get so upset because we'll never see him again, but we take for granted what we did have with them. Did you enjoy the moments you did have? Be grateful for the time you had. I'm grateful for the 17 years I had with my mom. And I'm grateful that I'm going to get to see her again. I'm grateful for our pastors. Certainly our whole pastoral staff, but specifically Pastor John and Michelle. Anyone else thankful for Pastor John and Michelle? Yeah. One of my favorite scriptures, I love this, about honoring leaders. It says this in Hebrews 13:7. It says, "Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and follow the example of their faith." Remember your leaders who taught you the word of God and think about all the good that has come of their lives. Do you do that about our pastors and really anybody that has been a leader in your life, a leader for God in a significant way? How often do you reflect on how grateful you are for their impact? I mean, do you ever think about all the good that's come out of this church because Pastor John and Michelle were obedient? I love that. Think about all the good that has come from their lives, all because they had the guts to obey God when God put a vision in their heart. Are you grateful for them? I did some math. They've been pastoring this church for 23 years. That's 276 months. That's 1,196 weekends. If Pastor John on average preached three services every weekend, that's 3,588 times he's got up here to preach to you. That's crazy. If you include Wednesday nights, which they used to do every week, he's preached 4,784 times. And he hits it out of the park every week. I'm so grateful we have a pastor we get to go to Morton's, guys, like every day of the week, like what we get to hear every week. But isn't it easy to take it for granted? Are you grateful that we have a pastor that is passionate about putting almost 5,000 messages? He's probably done way more than that, not including weekend services. If they just worked 40 hours a week, which they've certainly worked more, that's 47,840 hours of their lives that they've invested to make sure that you can experience God in everyday life. They've done countless hospital visits, marriages, funerals, thousands of hours counseling. They're pioneers in our region. They're leaders of leaders. They've developed hundreds of leaders who are doing incredible things for God all over the planet. Their character has sustained them. This is what I love most about them. Their character sustained them for 23 years of ministry, if not more. And I'm so thankful. Do you know how many pastors never make it to 5 years of ministry? And I'm so glad we have pastors that lead with excellence, integrity, and character that has sustained them for over 23 years. And I know they're going to make it to their finish line. I know they are. And I'm so grateful that we have leaders that lead by example like that. Our church has been able to give hundreds, if not millions of dollars away to reach people all over the planet, all because two people were obedient to the plan of God in their lives. We all just clapped and raised our hand about our lives being impacted by them. Here's what I know. I put, because of their obedience, so many of our dreams have come true. Isn't that true? I'm living a life that I literally, if you told me when I was 17 to like make up your dream life, I could not have dreamed of my life of what it is today in 1,000 lifetimes. I'm living a life that I never dreamed possible, and it's because Pastor John and Michelle were faithful and obedient to the call of God on their lives. And I'm just one life out of thousands. How many of you would say that some of the dreams that are in your heart that you didn't even know you had are being fulfilled today because of their obedience? But because of their obedience, so many of our dreams have come true, and I hope that because of our obedience, all the dreams that God puts in their hearts will come true. God put the vision for this church, but this church didn't just happen because of the vision in their hearts. It happened because of you. And what I think the least we can do for them to pay them back is just give our all for their vision that God put in their heart. It's not their vision, it's what God put in their heart. Let's give back to them what they gave to us. And the last thing I'm grateful for is you. And by you, I mean the church. And by the church, I mean Victory Family Church. In 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11 and 12, it says this. It says, yes, you will be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. And when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So two good things will result of your ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met, and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. For your generosity to them and to all the believers will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. I love that verse because it's a perfect picture of what you do as a church. As a result of your ministry, they will give glory to God. And I would say, as a result of your ministry is one reason that I thank God every week. Every time I'm worshiping, every time you see me thanking God, you had a part to play in that. Do you know that? You as a church, the money you gave so we could have a youth center, the volunteer hours that you put in to make an impact in my life. You know, every week that you come here and worship, when you look around the room, you see some friends, you know their stories, and you know how God's impacted their life. Some people you don't. But do you know that you had a part in why people were worshiping God here on a weekly basis? Your ministry. I'm so thankful for this church. I'm thankful that I had a place, this church, that enabled me to create my best memories at a church and not a bar and a club in my 20s and my teens. I'm so grateful. My favorite memories of the past 15 years of my life are across the hall with the people and the friends that I made here. And if this place didn't exist, I probably would have dealt with my... I'll show this in a second. I was at a retreat last week. I was so privileged to speak at this retreat. It may have been my favorite youth retreat ever. And it was my favorite retreat because at last Saturday night, it was midnight, and I just love teenagers. And so the first time I stayed up till midnight probably in like the past 2 years. And they were at a bonfire. Now, it started snowing that night, so it was probably like 20 degrees. And they wouldn't have a bonfire like 12. So I'm outside like freezing. I end up getting a blanket and cuddling with two guy teenagers. And I'm like, this is kind of weird, but it's all right. I'm freezing. And we're all sitting around the bonfire. And the youth pastor at midnight says, guys, we're going to get serious here for a minute. We're going to all go around and we're going to share confidentially what we're struggling with and what we need prayer for and what we're going through. And for the next 2 hours, I heard 30 teenagers and all the leaders and myself share what we were going through, what we needed prayer for. I heard stories about kids whose parents have committed suicide after they abused each other and they blame themselves. I heard countless stories of teenagers who had addicts as parents and what it was like and what they've seen, things that we probably couldn't even imagine. Several stories of abuse, depression. I mean, the list went on, and every kid shared something like that, every kid. And my heart rebroke, and I thought, this is why you love youth ministry. This is why you show up every week. This is why you pour into teenagers' lives. This is why you connect with people. This is what it's all about. And I'm so thankful that a group of teenagers had a safe place like that where they could just be all open and authentic and real. And at 2 a.m., we finished up and we went inside and we all locked arms and we prayed over each other and we encouraged each other for the next hour before bed. I actually saw one of the kids that was on the retreat came to church to hear me today and he goes, man, our small group is so fired up. We're all in for God. We're going to have bonfires like that every week and catch up with each other and pray and hold each other accountable. I'm so grateful that we have a place like that for our teenagers. You know, I may or may not in my past or sometimes once in a while listen to Eminem, not the candy, but... Have you ever listened to Eminem? He has good pump-up music, not going to lie. But do you know that Eminem, if he was sitting around the bonfire in his life, he would share the exact same things that all those kids did? But here's what I know about Eminem. Eminem, he tells our culture, and he's telling our teenagers, hey, the way you deal with that is pills, drugs, sex, violence, anger. He doesn't have an answer. I don't even know if he's worked through those issues himself. But I thought, isn't it awesome that we have the answer in Christ? And these kids get to come and hear the word of God, and they can deal with those issues that they're going through in a safe place with leaders who will pour into them, show them a different way of life, and their lives will never be the same. I'm so thankful for a church that creates a place like that. I'm thankful for you that so many of you modeled what a godly man, husband, wife, father, mother look like. I've been going to this church for 14 years now. Do you know how many of you guys are my heroes and that I looked up to? And that you helped shape the way that I would treat my wife? You helped shape the way that I'm treating Olivia right now? Olivia and Laura are benefiting because of your example. In that room across the hall, they need your example. Don't think you can't make a difference. I want to challenge you. Every single one of you should be investing in the next generation. They need your example. They need your wisdom. They need your experience. They need you to show them a different way of life because they may not be getting it at home. They need you. That's what you did for me, and I'm so thankful for that. I'm thankful that you saw potential in me and cultivated that potential. No one in the right mind should have ever invested in me. But I thank God I go to a church that we invest with people right where they're at. That you don't have to be something special to be served here or to be ministered to here. You can just show up as you are. But here's what I know. If you show up as you are here, you won't stay as you are because there is a church that loves you and cares about you and will get the word of God in you and set you free and grow you up spiritually. It's a wonderful thing. I'm thankful that through serving at this church, I was able to learn what gifts were in me. I was learned how to be disciplined. I learned how to connect with people. I learned how to lead. I learned all of that here. I'm grateful for a church that taught me to be a good steward of my finances. I'm grateful for a church that taught me how to tithe, that taught me how to give, that gave me resources like Dave Ramsey's Financial Peace. My wife and I are now debt-free. Do you know how nice it is to be debt-free? Do you know how much more you can do for the kingdom when you're debt-free? Can you imagine what we as a church could do if we were debt-free? Guys, the sky's the limit. I'm thankful for a church that teaches us how to steward our finances biblically. I'm thankful for a church that taught me how to experience God in everyday life. I'm thankful for a church that gave me a vision for my life to serve others. I'm thankful for a church that's helped restore hundreds and thousands of marriages. I'm thankful for a church that's helped hundreds, if not thousands, of people get free from addiction through Victory Group. I don't know if you've ever had anyone in your family deal with an addiction. It's not a lot of fun. But thank God we have a place. We have a place where people can show up and get free and get ministered to. I'm thankful for our church. I'm thankful that we have a church that raises up leaders that go out and make huge impacts in our world. And I'm grateful that we have a church that maximizes the potential of other churches. I love that this church isn't just focused on us. Pastor John and this staff and so many of the volunteers, you guys are training other churches to make the impact that this church has made on other people. Can you imagine if 300 churches in the Southwest region actually fulfilled their potential in Christ and reached everyone like this church is? It would be unbelievable. And that's exactly what God wants to do. And guys, we get to be a part of that. It's so easy to come here and take this church for granted, especially if you've been coming for a while. You guys get the best of the best. You've seen the best of the best. But do you take that for granted or are you grateful for it? Not everyone gets to be a part of something like this. Not everyone gets to hear someone like Pastor John teach every week. Not everyone has as many opportunities to grow as we do as a church. Are you grateful for this church? I'm thankful. And so today, I just shared with you a bunch of things that I'm thankful for. And those are all things that I wrote down that day when I was depressed. And I hope that gratitude is filling up in your hearts. And I hope that you'll do that exercise. But here's what I know. The question isn't, if you spend time, will you be grateful? The question is, what are you going to do with your gratitude? What are you going to do with your gratitude? You know, I think about when we got saved. Think about when you got saved. You said, God, I'm all in. God, whatever you want for the rest of my life, I'm yours. Here I am. And we just surrender our lives to Him. Why? Because we were grateful. God, you did this for me, and I'll gladly lay down my life for you. And that's how I want to challenge you as we wrap up today. When is the last time you resurrendered your life and your resources to God? All of them. When was the last time, I think this is a great exercise for every believer, when was the last time you took all of your money and said, God, what do you want to do? I surrender all my money to you. Not just my tithe, not just my God account, like God, the whole bank account, everything that comes in, it's yours. How do you want to use it? When's the last time you took your calendar and said, God, I'm not just going to give you Saturday nights where I can serve, or Sunday mornings or Wednesday nights. God, you have access to my whole calendar. How do you want to use my time? The most valuable thing we have. And then our talents. God, how do you want to use me specifically with the way you gifted me? God, you can use me anywhere, anytime. How do you want to use me Monday through Friday when I'm on the job? When's the last time you resurrendered all of your resources to him? Guys, right now we have a Fulfilled campaign. I just spent time telling you why I'm grateful for this church. Guys, you know that this matters. That it matters. I'm grateful that people before us were willing to pay for a youth pastor and pay for a youth place so I could be there. So I could just do everything that I just told you about. I'm so grateful for that. And I just want to challenge you to do three things when it comes to the Fulfilled campaign and your involvement in this church, volunteering. Number one is resurrender all of your resources to him. I want to encourage you to take time intentionally to do that. Number two, I want you to hear from God. Thank God we go to a church that taught us we can hear from God and how to hear from God. I'm so grateful for that. But hear from God on what he wants you to do. God, here's access to everything. Does that mean God's going to use all your money and all your time and you're not going to have time for anything else? No. But I believe as believers, God should have access to all of that. And whatever he wants to do, he can do. But hear from God. God, what do you want me to do in the Fulfilled campaign? God, where do you want me to serve? How often? Do you want me to lead a small group? What do you want me to do, God? I'm all yours. Hear from God. And then the most important part is part three, do it. Right? Nike said it, just do it. But here's what I know about obeying God. It takes guts to obey God. It took guts for Pastor John and Michelle when they were in their early 30s to say, you know what, we're going to launch out. God put a vision in our heart. We're going to plant this church. It took guts to build all these buildings. It took guts to show up every day and lead this church. It still takes guts every day to wake up. And I'm so grateful they have the guts and the courage to obey God. The question is not will they, because they're doing it. The question is, will you obey God when he tells you what to do? Resurrender your resources to God. Hear from God on what he wants you to do, and then obey. I don't know what God will deal with you to do. Maybe some of you have made commitments and you just did a safe gift, what you thought you could do. Maybe God wants you to do something more. Anything God asks you to do is always going to require faith, and it's always going to require guts, and it's always going to require courage. Maybe he's asking you to step up and serve, and you know you've been supposed to serve, but you haven't. I don't know what he's going to whisper in your ear, but all I can tell you is whatever he says, do it. I've never met anyone who obeyed God who was disappointed. And so I just want to pray over you for that specific thing. I want to pray that you would resurrender all of your resources to him. I pray that you'll be grateful, that you would hear from God, and you'll obey. Father, we thank you so much for this service. Lord, we have so much to be grateful for. And Lord, I pray for everyone under the sound of my voice. Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would give them the courage to resurrender all of their lives and all of their resources to you, Father. And Lord, that when they do, Lord, you would meet them where they're at, and you would speak specifically on what you want them to do, what you want them to give, how you want them to serve. And Lord, lastly, I pray that you give them the courage it takes to obey you, Father. It's always worth it. No one ever who obeys you is ever disappointed, Lord. And I thank you for an opportunity to be in such an awesome church, Lord. I thank you for being an opportunity, for the opportunity of just being a part of what you're doing in and through this church, Lord. It's such an honor and a privilege. And Lord, remind us daily of how grateful we should be for everything you're doing in our midst. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for the Fulfilled campaign. Lord, I thank you that in years to come, Lord, people across the hall are going to be up here standing there, sharing their stories of how you changed their life, Lord. Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing. I thank you for a debt-free church, Lord. I thank you for leaders being reached, and I thank you for everything that you've called this church to do. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I never want to leave a service without giving you an opportunity to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's the most important decision you'll ever make. It's the most important decision or part of the service. And the Bible says that, and if you're here and you say to me, Doug, I don't know if I have a relationship with Christ. I don't know if I died today, if I'd go to heaven or hell. I want you to know that you can know that you know that you know when you leave this place. The Bible says that Jesus came and he lived the life that we should have lived, and he died the death we should have died so that we could have a relationship with him, that our sins could be forgiven, and we could spend eternity with him. And it's not something you earn by being a good person or by going to church. The Bible says it's a free gift, freely given. And all you have to do is believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. And he will come into your heart and you will be transformed. You'll have a relationship with Christ and you will be saved. And so if you're here, I'm just going to ask you on the count of three to raise your hand if you want to make that decision. I'm not going to embarrass you or call you out or call you down. I'm just going to pray a prayer with you from the stage. Everyone else in this room will pray it with you. And Jesus will come into your heart. So if that's you and you'd say to me, Doug, tonight I want to make Jesus the Lord of my life, would you just raise your hand on the count of three? One, two, three. That's awesome. Hands are going up everywhere. Thank you, thank you. It's the best decision you'll ever make. Anyone else? Awesome. Well, if you raise your hand or should I pray this out loud where you can hear it, say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for sending your son, Jesus, to die for me. I believe that he died on a cross and he rose from the dead for me. Jesus, I repent of my sin and I ask you to come into my heart. I thank you for coming and making me brand new. Thank you that I'll never be the same. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you guys for the opportunity to share with you. Love you guys. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to this teaching from Victory Family Church. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For additional teaching, resources, and podcasts, as well as information on who we are and our upcoming events, please visit our website, lifeatvictory.com.